Chapter 8, Reckless.
Silver, are you there?
McKittrick frowned, locked in a painful haze at the foot of my bed. Her pale blue aura seemed like it was circled in gold. I didn't want to look at her, and I certainly didn't want to answer, but I did. Go away. Run. Don't look back.
I can't. That's why I'm here with you.
Are you a prisoner too?
You're asking me? You hold the key.
What? McKittrick's image faded away, replaced by the perfect smile of June Alicante. She ran her hand along the bed, tracing a path that ended mere inches from mine.
I can't touch you.
Why not?
I'm a prisoner too. You hold the key.
The key to what?
My heart.
Silver, wake up.
Feth, I'd been having such a delightful dream. The comforting beep and whir of the medic kay sounded around me. Monitors tracked my biological functions, and tubes fed me a heady cocktail. The wardroom was larger than expected and filled with a few familiar faces. The ever-present Hellgun had been replaced by a sister of the Abyss, one I hadn't met. Nearer my bed, Proctors Chinasa and Round loomed over me on my left, while on my right, another unknown, a proctor or an administrator perhaps, but thankfully not a commissar. Noticing my stare, the man introduced himself.
I'm Aluxio Centellis of the Ordo Hereticus, an advisor to the Astra Telepathica and Schola Psychana.
An inquisitor?
Not quite. How do you feel?
What? I was expecting something a bit more accusatory and sharp-ended.
You've been here a week under heavy sedation while we've tried to figure out what happened. Besides your body being malnourished, your mind was tied in knots, spinning in upon itself. We think that was the cause of your paranoia and erratic behavior.
Malnourished paranoia? I hadn't heard of that, but the fact that they'd clamped me down using the presence of a null sister was clear enough.
It's not uncommon for young psychers to become addicted to their burgeoning powers. In doing so, they fail to feel hunger like a normal human might. Your entire class has undergone further testing in that regard, and you've all been brought back to healthy levels.
Why? I said.
Why what?
The recycler doesn't care about my health. Why not do away with the problem and move on? Master Centel glanced at Proctor Chinasa, who simply shrugged. Veruca Round did the same. Where's Commissar Belling? I said. I figured he'd be the first and last face I ever saw after my erratic behavior.
Sanctionite Silver, given last week's display of power, your Astra Telepathica rating has been adjusted upward to Delta Prime, and I feel that still does you a disservice.
I'd been throwing power in all directions, trying to shunt away Rink's potent attack while I ducked and dodged my way clear of certain execution. It wasn't my power. It belonged to Locadio Rink. He was there in astral form, intending to kill me.
Kill you how?
How did he kill the rest of his defunct class? Perhaps my new ranking gave me the power to confuse everyone around me, but their blank looks didn't help. I tried again. Rink is a telepath, at least a Gamma Prime. Besides projecting himself, he can also project spells, complex compulsion spells. He hooked Proctor Alicante, and through her, he got to me. Have you checked her mind for knots?
You're deflecting the blame?
You think I attacked her? Does she believe me? Centel was in charge of this hearing, and he presented the next slip of information.
We reviewed all the pertinent video feeds. Only you ever touched her.
I rolled back the scene in my mind, playing it as if a video sensor had captured it all. No, it didn't look good at all. I recalled the horrid expression on her face at the thought of being violated. She knew a monster when she saw one. Feth. Master Centels, you aren't telling the entire truth. The inquisitorial agent seemed genuinely miffed by my accusation.
In what way?
You didn't review all the pertinent videos. June Alicante was good at her job and one of the calmest proctors on campus. She had perfect fingernails and didn't tap them in an annoying fashion unless something was wrong, unless someone had tied her mind into knots. She'd been agitated and confused throughout our last session before I'd ever touched her hand. I told the room my theory and asked that they review all of her eval sessions for similar behavior. I doubted they'd find anything that matched. It was a clue meant to free me, but it was pointed in the wrong direction. In the meantime, I wasn't going anywhere. The Null Sister kept a polite distance from everyone but occasionally switched corners or paced the sizable room, grazing our souls. I hope Locadio Rink had a pair of nulls guarding him. He'd certainly need it. Proctor Raun remained in the room along with the Sister of the Abyss, while the others left to do their jobs.
Silver, your predicament allows us time to talk about other matters concerning your marks.
That's a nice way of putting it. I'm on my way to the recycler, and you want to pick my addled brain.
I don't think your brain is all that addled, though it could use some work protecting itself from external influences.
Speaking of external influences, who is Uluxio Centelles?
An interrogator and a psyker. He's one of the better readers on Terra, but not the best. If the Astra Telepathica ever let him leave, he'd become an inquisitor.
Then he knows I'm telling the truth?
He knows you believe what you're saying, but the truth is often different from one's perception.
I thought that was the true definition of addled. Everyone had a right to their own reality, but all too often, others seem to bend mine to their liking. I returned to Roan's main concern. I've got all the resolve one could need, but the door seems wide open for whatever stops by.
You said you were compelled. How did you free yourself and maintain control?
My mind split between two connections, and when I finally had the chance to root out the attack, I bludgeoned it with my energy until it came apart. The look on Raun's face was one of horror.
No wonder your mind was left in knots.
I wasn't thinking very clearly. I was desperate and just wanted to be free of the spell.
How did you free yourself from the warp creatures? All three?
Raun crossed her arms. I learned to fight them and eventually beat them into submission.
What were their names?
Zaxes, Kiskaemon, and Silgo. Raun shuddered.
All three at once?
No, only two. Silgo was late to the funeral.
You died during the fight? That can lead to possession.
Silgo fell before I did, and with the mark eradicated, I didn't expect it to return. I've died dozens of times in the past couple of years. It didn't seem to matter.
It mattered to someone, I'm sure.
Yes, I admitted, but it doesn't now.
I will teach you to defend yourself.
I'm not headed to the recycler?
Not yet. Nobody died by your hand.
Three guards were shot in the exchange outside my eval room door. Did any of them live?
One. Why?
Rink was there. He caused the exchange.
Silver, only you were there. Our sensors didn't pick up any other energy signatures but yours and those of the response team. Your mind had split into two under the strain. Rink may have been driving the attack, as you say, but he was using your mind to do it.
Then where did all the golden energy come from?
Gold?
Rink's color. It's how I see it.
And your energy is silver?
When I have control of it, yes.
You can see another's dark energy flow?
Can't you? I thought all psykers could see auras.
Only those deemed seers. We're not talking about human auras. We're talking about warp-powered channels that exist in another dimension of reality.
Having never had a decent explanation for it, I shrugged. I still wear the active marks of two, but according to an Ordo banisher, it would be too dangerous to cleanse them. Their paths intersect at my heart.
Proctor Alicante noted your marks, but not the explanation for their existence. Some here are more than reluctant to be around you.
But not you?
I've studied demonology for decades. Whether there are marks or not, the warp lurks everywhere, but it rarely comes through in such malevolent forms unless invited to do so.
I told June to run. I told her to lock the door.
And she did. Maybe she's alive today because of it.
Have I been assigned a new eval proctor?
Yes, and I'll be teaching you everything I know regarding the banishment of entities from your mind.
Spells can be entities, too. Raun appeared surprised at that insight.
Powerful spells can be viewed as such, but they rely on the will of their creator.
How would a first year know how to craft such a powerful compulsion spell?
That may be Master Centelles' prime concern once we get you sorted. But I have a better question. How would a first year be able to escape our secure evaluation hub while it was under lockdown?
The knots in my mind were released while I was sedated, avoiding the worst of an artfully painful process. Still, I felt as confused as ever about the scene around me. Over the next few days of my restrained and assisted living, Proctor Raun taught me to build a silver suit of armor around my entire being. She demonstrated the technique a few times, using Alba, our resident sister of nullification, to wipe her slate clean in between. Proctor Raun layered her barrier with psychic feathers until she was entirely wrapped in a coat of bluish-green protection that was invisible to the naked eye. It muted her aura, and I got the feeling it would hide her from a random warp entity rather than protect her from a targeted attack. In my previous life, I'd seen another creature wearing psychic armor. It had been borderline impervious to the heavy weapons of the Adeptus Astartes, the vaunted bioengineered warriors of the Imperium. In the end, I'd been able to pierce its shield and draw it down with determined psychic attacks. I didn't dare mention that to Roan, fearing she might ask me to test her psychic shield. We needed to build trust, not fear. Channeling my inner porcupine, I opted for an auric shield made out of knives rather than feathers. It might not be able to stop an attack completely, but if it could shred any complex spell on the way in, I could capture the warp energy from it and respond. If a warp creature or another psyker tried to breach my personal space, they would regret it. There was only one problem with my solution. It took more energy to maintain the barrier than I accumulated directly from the immaterium. My power glaive held a vast yet finite amount of warp-tainted energy, but being isolated like I was, I might eventually starve my psyker half too. In short, I needed company or a return to normal downtime operations and the dangerous exchanges that came with it.
"We've come to a decision. You can leave confinement on one condition," said Proctor Chinasa. "You must join a clan and maintain good standing within it."
His suggestion, if that's what it was, made little sense to me. By joining a clan, I'd only be endangering those around me.
"We've interviewed everyone in your class. While several were less than kind regarding their opinion of you, no one thought that you might intentionally cause them harm. In fact, several seemed overly concerned by your disappearance."
"Is Whisper okay?"
"Why do you ask?"
Master Centels continued to treat me like a warp spider under a microscope. "She runs hot, and sometimes I help her cool off."
"Runs hot?"
"Yes," I said. "Someone needs to teach her how to control her excess energy."
"We have more reliable ways of handling that."
"Using surgical implants?"
"Yes."
"She's 13 and having a difficult time adjusting to Psychana's friendly confines. Couldn't you hold off on the dehumanizing procedures for a year or two?"
"What is she to you?"
"I've had sisters before, and I know what it's like to have zero control over one's life. It can push anyone over the edge."
"And what is that supposed to mean?"
"I'm simply wondering why the Psychana Medicae is so large. It can't all be training accidents and downtime missteps. How many arrive here every year due to suicide attempts?" Proctor Chinasa answered for Centelles.
"Most injuries are self-inflicted, many severe, but sometimes the implants help restore a psyker's balance."
I figured balance was even more important than trust. Without it, you couldn't trust yourself. "I'll join a clan, but I'd like to keep my private dorm at the neutral hall in case I need space."
"We'll allow it if the clan allows it."
"Also, I'd like to convince Proctor Alicante that I'm not such a threat. There are scant few faces worth admiring around here, and she's got one of them." Uluxio Centelles provided the final verdict.
"We've informed Proctor Alicante that the episode in question wasn't entirely your fault, but without hard evidence, we haven't been able to pin it on Locadio Rink or anyone else."
"What if Rink pays me another visit during downtime?" Centelles didn't do me any favors with his reply.
"He has enormous potential, but so do you. It would be a shame to lose you both."